Verse 25, Matthew chapter 6, and starting with verse 25, we'll stand in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God, not to me. The Bible said, therefore, and the fellow said, when you see that therefore, you look to see what it's there for. And he's been talking about some things, so he said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink. That's going to knock some of you in the head now about dinner. Nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Have you ever thought about that? The fowls of the air, God takes care of them. Even the buzzards. Isn't that amazing? The crows. He says here, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. In other words, he didn't have as much as they did. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He does. Then but he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You can be seated. Our dear Father, we bow our heads today, asking you, Lord, to touch our hearts as we look at this scripture. And Lord, we're just going to touch on it just a little bit, but Father, what you've laid upon our hearts to speak to these people about, Lord, I pray it be real to us. And then it becomes real to them. And we walk out of this building, we can say we've been encouraged, we've been blessed, we've been helped, we've been strengthened. And Lord, I pray that we'll lift up you in everything. You told us to seek ye first the kingdom of God. And he told us to look unto the hills whence cometh our help. You said lift our eyes unto Jesus. And so I pray this morning, Father, that we'll magnify you. And Lord, forget about what we got and what we don't have. What we wish we had, and what we may never get. God, help us today to think about the present, where we are, who we are, and where we're headed. And Father, we might be blessed and strengthened in the course of all this. Lord, help us not to forget sight of who we are. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. Now, in the last few months, and I believe you'd say the same thing, I've noticed a big change. I said this last week, but I'm saying it again today. I've noticed a big change in the spiritual realm of our nation. And of course, the nation's been going down for quite some time. But I'm talking about in the realm of the people of God. Now, I know we've got all kinds of problems around. If you looked at those things, you'd say, oh, I don't know. I run into Christian people day after day. And as I come in contact with them, they're wondering, what's going to happen? When's this going to lift? And I've even seen people that have got to the place that they're diminishing the power of God. And to think that we've come to the place that we're never going to get out of this. Now, child of God, let me tell you something. Everything's going around us. God is still in control. He don't have to be warned or told. Matter of fact, he knows more about it than you do. He knows more about it than I do. God knows exactly what I need. God knows why this is here. You see, we like to think, well, God's going to punish the wicked and get them right. And he's bringing all this through that. But us as God's people, we're so good. We don't need all that. And there's our problem.
Right.
None of us are any good.
That's right.
But I want to give you something. I believe today this is the best time for the church to ever make a point and to make an example and to be useful more than it's ever been. How many Christians have you seen lately that are down in the mouth? They whine, they're moaning, they're groaning, they're complaining. You said, I'm not. I'm not. If a shoe don't fit, don't wear it. If you're perfect and right up close to God and he's going to invite you to sit beside Jesus any day now, just forget what I say. Otherwise, you need it. I find myself, Lord, why are we going through this? I find myself diminishing the power of God sometimes because the flesh is weak. Amen. And I don't look at it like I ought to from a scriptural standpoint. I want to give you three or four things that I'm noticing today in our society that's causing us to really bring reproach upon the Lord instead of blessings. Amen. I believe us as God's people can turn this thing and make the best use of what we have today for the glory of God. God wants to get glory out of everything. Matter of fact, he's going to get glory out of everything. You may not know that, but he's going to. Everything that comes my way is for my good. There's a few things I've kind of went back and told the Lord a time or two that didn't look good to me. But he said it's for your good and it's for my glory. And months later, maybe years later, I looked at it and said, yeah, Lord, it was for my good and it was for your glory. God don't always work everything like I want him to work it. God don't always bless me, amen, like I want him to bless me. Now let me tell you something. If a little bit of a pandemic comes through the country, and I'm talking about through the world, and God's used this for the whole world. If a little bit of pandemic comes through, and we are ready to throw in the towel, and throw up our hands and quit, and if we're ready to criticize and get discouraged and upset and despondent, I want you to know right now, something's wrong with our Christianity. Because I got God on the inside. I can say greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world.
Amen.
And God's greater than any problem I've ever faced.
Amen.
God's greater than anything I've ever had to stand him around. But let me just give you some things I believe we need to notice today as we look at it. I'm going to give you three or four things that I believe that we're messing up and we're not pointing people to Jesus like we ought to. You see, still he wants to save. Still, God wants to use the church. Still, God wants to use me. Still, God wants to use you. He hasn't diminished the idea today that we are still supposed to be our kid. He hasn't given us no peace time or relaxed time or no vacation time from winning souls. He still seeks to save that which is lost. And he wants us to get the gospel out the best way we can and to the best of our ability. I wonder how many of us are more of a blessing today than we were yesterday or the day before or even before COVID come into town. It's affected all of our spirituality. It's affected me. It's affected you. And brother, it's high time we look up and look to the touch of God on our lives and ask God to intervene and do what needs to be done. Quit looking at the problems and look at the problem solver.
Yeah.
Now you said, well, that's simple preaching. That's right. And it's the simplicities that we mess up on. I just want to mention this. I believe we've come to the place that we're living discouraged lives. Discouragement, and that's number one, discouragement can ruin those you come in contact with, not only you, but those you come in contact with. If you're discouraged, you're not going to help anybody. If you're discouraged, you're on the negative side. Amen. You ever get up in the morning griping about everything? And nothing seems to be right and everything's wrong? No, you don't. Some of you are looking at me like, no. You do. We get a negativity to us. Brother, men and women are going to hell. Listen, they need to still see that there's a Christ. If He's lifted up, He'll draw all men unto Him. They still need to see that He died for all sin. Somebody said, oh, I'm afraid I'm going to get COVID and I'm afraid I'm going to die. Then why don't you get right with God? He said, you mean you don't want that stuff either? No. Amen. Done had it, don't want it. Amen anymore. You with me? So I want to tell you this morning that I don't want to go around looking around. Am I? And that's what these people do. They worry about everything. I seen a fella coming down the road the other day. I mean, he had his mask on and car windows rolled up and he was by himself. I thought, and I'm not against masks. You can wear them all you want to. I just forget them half the time. Amen. I get up to the door and it says a mask and I have to go back and get mine. Amen. I'm not used to that. But I'll try to abide by that. I don't have no problem with that. But I want to say to you this morning that they're afraid they're going to die. Well, if you die and you're saved, you think you're going to a worse place or a better place? Hallelujah. You see, the Bible teaches me I exist. And I'm going to continue to exist. I did not exist before I was born. Amen. And I exist because of my physical birth. But I'm going to eternally exist, and we'll all eternally exist in a sense, either whether we have the second birth or not. It could be an eternal hell. But I'm glad to know that I got eternal life and I'll exist with Christ forever. And I'm not going to cease to be. Amen. You step on a roach bug, and he's going to cease to be. Right? You step on me, squish the life out of me, and I'm just going to move out of that body and into an eternal glory. Amen. Now, I don't want to go today, but God may see different. You said, preacher, I don't. No, I know you don't want to go today. No, you don't want to go today. Don't you want to live a little longer? Amen. God put a little part in you to want you to keep a going for a little bit. He put a desire for life in you. I don't go around trying to find a way to die. I'm going around trying to find me a way to live. Amen. I get sick, I go to the doctor. The doctor's got to give me a pill to take care of it. Amen. These folks that run up and down the road, you know, gritting their teeth. I mean, I'd like to run into a fella early this morning. You know, he got out in the middle of the road. I thought, don't he know? I mean, here's an idiot behind the wheel. And I just barely seen him. And guess why? He's running. And I looked at him. His hair was gray. He looked like he's warmed over death. And he's trying to preserve his life. And I don't care what you do in here this morning. Most of us have done what we're going to do to these bodies anyhow. We done wore them out, got them in the wrong shape. And then God says if we have 70, that's more than He's even promised us today. And hey, if you get past that, it's downhill anyhow. So won't you run, get out and run, preacher? I wish I could. I was yesterday in a place of business getting me something for breakfast and a fella said, how you doing? He said, you staying out of trouble? I said, I can't. He said, why? I said, I can't outrun it. And here they are trying to add one more cubit to their life and God said, you can't do it. One more day. But there's going to come a time and it's going to prove to you. And they always, unless you have an accident, takes you out just on the spot. The grim reaper one day will walk in the room where you're at. Start squeezing you on your chest and cutting down your organs a little bit. Next thing you know, if you're breathing different, and you know what you're doing, you're trying to draw for breath, and that's the way death does, and death just squeezes you and squeezes you and squeezes you until you can't get your breath no more, and it's not even, the body's fighting that. The body's wanting to stay, but the spirit says we got to go. And if you can't handle this COVID stuff, what are you going to do then? There's going to come a time in your life when the doctor can stand over you, inject you with all kinds of things, put food, medicine in your mouth. But he can't keep you here but so long. God says that appointed time is there. Brother, I don't care how many doctors and nurses you've got, how many specialists are hanging around you. You're going to leave this world, and there's not going to be anybody that can help you out of this building or any other building. You can get your family to come around you, but you're going to go. I see so many that's discouraged. And when you're running around as a Christian, you're discouraged about this stuff. Guess what happens? They're looking at you. Brother, I want to tell you something. God dealt with my heart good with this stuff. You may not have, even what's them little holes you get your food out? Drive-thrus. Even them little drive-thrus you go around. Amen. This what got me to thinking. Here, little old girl's in there. She had an earring. I guess it wasn't an earring. It's a nose ring, I guess. And she had two or three right up here on her brow. Bunch of tattoos on her. And I said, "How you doing?" She said, "Fine. How you doing?" I said, "I'm doing fine. Good day today." She said, "Oh, yes. Said the Lord's coming. The apocalypse fixing to take place." And she shakes me out of my seat nearly in the truck. And I thought, hey, she got my attention. And made me think, I need to get everybody else's attention. And I do. And I kind of watch, make sure, you know, I don't get my coffee going. Thank you. Amen. I don't want to be discouraged. I want to encourage you. You need some encouragement this morning. And I'm going to tell you right now, look up. The Lord can help you. Not only discouraged, but I see so many people today that are despondent. You get discouraged, you get despondent. You know what despondent is? That means you get lazy. It means you quit doing anything, you give up. Now, I've pastored despondent and discouraged people for years, but I've never seen it in this kind of shape. Despondent people, I've always likened it like this. They sat down on a pew, fold their arms, and said, "Now bless us, preacher. I dare you to get me motivated." Despondent people, they're not interested in the church. They don't even really care whether they're there or not. They just come because somebody liable to call them and wonder why they weren't there. Or it might tear down their reputation a little bit. At least I went to church and I want everybody to know I'm a church goer. And that's about all some folks are. Church goers. Amen. They get in the church, but the church never gets in them. Right? And your life needs to be built around a church. You're talking to a young couple. They're going to get married. Now, two things I hate: marriages and funerals. I don't like neither one of them. One getting in, one getting out. Ain't much difference in either one. But I get a couple going to get married, and I say, "Sit down." And I try to tell them that the church is what they need to have. And their life needs to be centered around the church and the Lord. First, find out if they know the Lord, but then center around the church. I would never want to start a marriage with anybody without it being centered around the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, I learned that the hard way because I don't reckon I ever asked my wife, who's now in glory, I don't reckon I ever asked her when I was a young boy, have you been saved? I didn't have to. She'd done told me. And she didn't ask me. I don't reckon she ever asked me. But I was going to church. I was saved, but I wasn't where I ought to be. So I didn't think about that, but the preacher said, now you need to get your life centered around the church. And I did for about 3 or 4 weeks. And then started getting out of church. And then when my wife liked to die, my oldest son liked to die because I was running from God, it changed my mind. But I'm saying this morning, I'd get the place of despondent. There have been times in my life, I'm a preacher. I'm not going to stand here and lie to you. Wouldn't that be awful? I'm not going to lie to you, but there's been times in 50-something years of preaching that I did not want to go to church. There's some times I did not want to get involved too deep. Now, I'm not talking, there's sometimes I said, I wish my foot had started hurting. I couldn't walk so I wouldn't have to go today. I just felt bad. Now, you say, preacher, you done that? Yeah, and you did too. I bet a few times you wanted to make an excuse, but I didn't quit. I kept on going. Why? I was despondent. I needed preaching. People who are despondent need preaching. And you're not getting that at the grocery store. You're not getting that at the hardware store. You're not getting that at Walmart. I hate Walmart. And I mean, not hate them, but I despise going to Walmart and Lowe's. I do. I despise it. I used to like it. I don't anymore. Now, if you want to change anything, they stand out there and preach a while. I'll go out there and listen to them. I'll start going down there. I thought about this yesterday. I come up here, check on things, and went back and I come up. You know, it was rainy yesterday. Rainy. It wasn't one of them days that I wanted to get me a easy chair and sit out in the front yard. But I left here and went back over here, and at the fairgrounds, they had a ball game. I guess, I don't know what that was, some kind of ball game going. I never seen the like it to people, and I thought, social distancing while these people were scrounged up together. Playing ball. Some of them had umbrellas and something, and they just got soaked, I'm sure. But suppose we took the roof off a church. How many reckon come to church? Understand? Them people despondent if they even got anything at all. The third thing. Amen. I'll try to hurry. The third thing is people not only are discouraged and despondent, but they have come to the place that they are defeated. They're living defeated lives. You know what a defeated life is? I'll relate it back to you as a kid in school. When your fellow classmate walks over and pops you in the nose, and your blood starts running out your nose, and he puts a fear of God in you, you live defeated for a little bit. Defeat means you've been beat. Defeat means that you have had an upper hand on you. Defeat means that something's took over your life. Defeat means that something has ruled you and you got another boss. And you're not number one no more. And I see so many of God's people today live so defeated. That's a bad place to be, isn't it? If you're a Christian, there's no defeat. We're on the winning side. He's done won the battle. We ought to lift our hands and we ought to shout and give God the glory. I mean, if we're dying around us like flies and we know we could be next, just give God the glory. We'll see you later after a while, Lord.
That's right. Amen.
We got people going to church. It feels like
We're so defeated. We're down in the dumps. We can't help it. What are we going to do? Wringing her hands. Wringing her hands. Ask a fellow this morning. Place of business. I said to him, I said, how you doing? He said, I'm doing fine. And I thought, don't look like it to me. And I just come in, I was about the same way. But I'm not going to let it defeat me. I thank God I can still draw air. Thank God I can still lift His name. I don't want to live a defeated life. Can you just see this? How you doing, preacher?
I guess about the best you could under the circumstances. You know, this is an awful time to live in. We're in dark, dark days. Is that going to help you or not? Well, now, really, how many times you said that to people lately this week?
You said, they say to you, what do you think about all? You said, well, I think this is a good time for us to give God the glory and the praise and recognize He's still on the throne and there's nothing that's going past Him yet. He's still the same God. If you can't handle COVID today, what are you going to do when they come knock on the door and line you up against the wall and said you're going to have to renounce Christ or get shot? To me, that would be a harder thing. Said, pull the hammer back on that thing, son. Make sure you don't miss the first shot. And I'll go into glory. Discouraged, despondent, defeated. Number four. Now, there's a lot more I could put with these. But I heard this on the news that there's more people in depression now than there's been. When we're discouraged, we have a negative attitude. When we're despondent, we're inactive. And when we're defeated, actually, we're on the bottom. Ain't much you can go from being defeated. Then depression sets in. Depression. More people are having depression now than they've ever. A depressed place in your life. Depression. God don't want us to have that. Amen. Went to the hardware store this week. I like to get out. That's all you can do these places. I mean, hey, you just try to plug in and shoot the best you can. You just get one shot at some of them. And sometimes it ricochets and sometimes it misfires, but you just shoot it anyhow. And I was in line fixing to pay for the grocery, not for the grocery, but for the what I had in my hand. I had one item. Hardware store. Had on my mask. And the fellow in front of me didn't have on one. He looked back and he said, Brother Deals? I said, yes, sir. He said, I said, and who are you? And he didn't even have on a mask. And he told me. And you know, I said, okay. And I'm sure he looked at me like, you don't know who that is, do you? He knowed me, but I didn't know him. And I said, okay. He said, you used to pastor Shirley Grove Baptist Church. I said, yes, sir. Now, that's a long time ago, over 40 years ago. Right at it. He said, I come to Bible school at Shirley Grove. And he said, I got under conviction. And you won me to the Lord. Well, he looked pretty good. He didn't have on shorts and he didn't have on long hair. And I said, he must be pretty. And he said, I want to tell you, I appreciate it and thank you. Said, because you kept me out of hell. He said, you also had a preacher there that you had come up during that course of time that I was coming there some out of Texas, Houston, Texas. I said, yeah, Brother Dan Matters. He said, I sure did love his preaching. I said, you might have been the only one. I like to got run off because of him. Matter of fact, I did get run off later. He said, the reason is because they didn't want that strong preaching. I said, you're right. And that was the conversation. But I'm thanking God that somewhere down the road, I mean, when you get discouraged, sometimes God can help you to see that you've been a help somewhere down the road. And I stepped on up, and all I had in my hand, I had one little old can of paint. What is that stuff that you spray it? It's simple, just simple paint. Keeps things from rust. Rust-Oleum. Little old jar of Rust-Oleum. A little aerosol can. I set it down. She said, how you doing? I said, I'm fine, I think. I pinched myself a while ago and it hurt. She said, okay. I've got my billfold out. I'm going to pay for my paint. She said, I need your date of birth, please. I said, do what? She said, I need your date of birth. I said, 9/17/47. She said, okay. She said, you can't buy that paint unless you're over 18. And I said, well, thank you, ma'am. I said, I looked in the mirror this morning. I looked older than that to me. I said, do you want my Social Security number? She said, no. And I said, why do you have to give a number or a birth date? She said, because these young kids are taking it, putting it in a sack and squirting it in there and breathing the bag and getting high on it. I said, well, I'm going to sniff it, but I'm going to be on the outside, but I'm not going to intentionally sniff it. I'm going to try to stay away from it, but I'm going to get a little. She just laughed. We went on. And I come out of there, got in my car, headed back to the house. God pricked my heart and reminded me of something back yonder. I don't know, 45 years or better. There in that area, me and a man was walking in the community, knocking on doors in the little church I was pastoring at that time. Walking up a little old hill and around the curve, and houses was built on the side of those hills, and they didn't have them all sealed up under the bottom like they had them up on big posts. And I've seen some young people sitting up under the front of, under the porch of one of those buildings. And I said, here, we're going to get some young people. And I walked over there. Hey, fellas, how y'all doing? There's a couple of old girls and three or four old boys. And I said, what y'all doing? They said, modern term, just hanging out. I never used that when I was a kid. Amen. We're just sitting here. And I said, I smell gasoline. Y'all got a problem with gas around here? They just looked dumb. And I said, I do smell gas. And I moved around. And I seen a gas can sitting behind one of them's back. Then I figured out what they were doing. They were taking that gas can and sniffing it. I said, do you folks know that when you sniff gas, it kills brain cells? Kills them quick, too, by the way. I didn't get mean, but I said, y'all know that that can ruin you for life? They worried me all, and they split up and got out from under there and took off. But you've got people today that's in depression and they're trying to find some kind of relief today. They're taking pills. They're drinking alcohol. They're playing around with sin on every side. It's because they're depressed. Child of God, get out of that if you're depressed.
Amen. Lift your eyes on the hills. Amen. For dying all around you, lift your head up and wave your hands to God, because God, amen, is either going to deliver you or bring you home. That's all you're going to... Hey, if you're saved today by the grace of God, every little step you take today, either God's going to bless you or He's going to bring you to the house. He may whip you a little bit before you get there if you're not right with God. But the worst that God... You see, He said in there, don't fear man who can destroy the body, but we're to fear God who can destroy the body, both body and soul, in hell. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm lifting my eyes to heaven. I hope I've tried to encourage you just a little bit this morning. When you go out tomorrow or today and you're in public, please, please try to represent Christianity and Christ and the Bible and the Word of God and the church in the positive. Amen. That's the reason if you're... I seen a fella yesterday. He couldn't hardly walk. And I'm not making fun of him, because I get there too. I'm getting closer there every day. Amen. And he was walking. I'm not making fun of him. He was walking like this. And he got over to the other fellow and he said, "How are you doing?" He said, "Oh, I'm doing fine." And I said, "Yeah, you're lying, but that's what you probably feel, and I'm glad you're doing it." How many of y'all have been that way lately? You don't want to admit you ain't fine. You're sitting in the doctor's office and saying, "How you doing?" "Fine. What you doing here for?" And then you get in the crazy office and sit down, and the doctor comes and he said, "How you doing?" I said, "I don't know. That's what I'm here for you to tell me." Right? We go to church, we get something. I pray today that God's give you something. We go out and lift up Jesus. Heads bowed. Be careful about being discouraged. Be careful about being despondent. Be careful about being defeated. Be careful about being depressed. None of those things will help you. And certainly none of them help anybody else. You need the touch of God on your life. I need the touch of God on my life. And I pray I get where I need to be for the glory of God.